Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, thank you for so richly granting to us your grace. It is because you have given us your grace that we are gathered here this morning to offer worship to you, for you are worthy of all praise and glory and honor. And Lord, we thank you that by the power of your Spirit, you have given us your very word in what we today call the Bible, so that in this scripture we hear your voice. We hear your assurances and comforts, the promises of the gospel of grace, and we also hear, O God, your instruction to us about the paths in which we ought to walk, the ways we ought to serve, to please, and to honor you. And as we approach your word this morning, O Lord, we ask that you, by your Spirit, would be at work in our hearts. Draw us near to yourself. Teach us, strengthen us, and all the more empower us that we might serve you until our Savior comes again. And give to your servant, O Lord, clear thought and speech. Help him as he opens your word. In Christ's name, amen. We are in Acts chapter 3 this morning as we continue our series in the book of Acts. And we'll be looking at the entirety of the chapter, not in every little detail, of course, but in the flow of what the Lord teaches us and says to us in this chapter. As we do this, I want to bring two things to your attention in the sermon. And they are these. First, what I want you to hear in this message today, and I'm not going to necessarily make these as explicit 2 points of this sermon this morning, but it's within the sermon, within the message. Here's what I want you to walk away with today is this, that God is powerfully still at work today. Amen. That's right. Amen. God is powerfully still at work today. And second, what I want you to take away is this, that this powerful work of God, in all of its fullness, is intended to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, I know this is a third, but this is application. I want you to be reflecting on, and I'll say some things about it in the sermon, but I won't be able to give you everything you need to hear. I want you to leave this later this morning reflecting on what the combination of these two things, God being powerfully still at work and that his power is at work to further the gospel, I want you to be reflecting on what that means for you in as your role, as your share in that ongoing work of God. Even as the apostles were appointed as those special witnesses, and we see that again as Peter mentions it in this passage, how are we, you and I, knowing that God is powerfully at work, knowing that his work is to further the gospel, what's your role and mine in serving with him in his work? Well, let's look together then at Acts chapter 3. In our world, it's kind of goes without saying that if you pay any attention to the world of preachers and preaching, you have encountered at some time, most likely on some television program, one of these guys that we describe as health and wealth preachers. In addition to that, you've probably seen or heard of the many different hoaxes, those who pretend to be healing people and doing these marvelous and powerful things which very soon turn out to be quite fake. When you experience this, when I experience this, when we hear about it, when we see it, when we read about it, it's hard not to be skeptical about reports of miraculous and supernatural works of God, whether healings or other things, including those that are recorded on the pages of Scripture. Adding to our skepticism, we live in a scientifically and technologically advanced society. I suppose here in northern Delaware, we might feel that even more strongly, given the presence of companies like DuPont and other research science companies. Science appears to explain and to solve so many puzzles that we begin to think that there is a natural, earthbound explanation for everything. In other words, whether by intentional commitment or unintentional tendency, we take the supernatural out of every equation. We might say we believe God's there. We might say we believe God is working. But even as Christians who believe in God, as those who have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, the reality is that you and I frequently live in practice very much like atheists, as though God is not at work. Those of us who are cessationists, and I'll explain what that is in a second, are even more prone to forgetting or discounting God's ongoing supernatural interventions in the world. To be a cessationist means to be committed to the reality that the supernatural spirit gifts of healing and of prophecy and tongues and similar ones have ceased. That God's intention for those gifts was for the foundational apostolic era of the church. He gave those gifts at that time to lay the foundation on which he was building his church. And because of this commitment, I think in some ways we run the risk all the more of forgetting that God himself has not ceased working, even if he doesn't give those gifts to you and me individually today. So I want you to be assured as we look at this passage together that God continues to work powerfully in the world today. The most profound, powerful work, indeed miraculous work, is seen when those who are dead in sin are made alive in Christ by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. If you don't think that miracles happen today, just consider for a moment. Just consider for the moment that God haters are transformed into servants of God who love Him dearly. Isn't that a miracle? Mutineers become loyal seamen ready to follow their captain anywhere. That's a miracle. What are mutineers? They're the ones that want to kill the captain, throw him overboard, take over the ship, take the gold for themselves. Every time a man, a woman, a child believes in Jesus, you can be assured that you have seen a miracle, that you have experienced a resurrection because the dead lives again. God is still at work powerfully in the world today. Now you might be thinking, Pastor, well, no question, I believe in that miracle of spiritual birth. God's Word talks about it. We've seen people come to faith. Sure, I accept that. I embrace that.
But why should I expect to see God acting in any supernatural and powerful way in the world today beyond that? Why should I expect to see Him do what appears humanly impossible and yet see it come to pass? But here's the answer to that question. The answer is this. Leaping like a deer is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever reflected on that? Leaping like a deer is a part of the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel of forgiveness is also the gospel of that new, true, healed life. God promised through Isaiah that this day of restoration would come. He prophesied that God would renew all things. Listen again, we read them earlier, but listen again to a few of the verses from Isaiah 35, beginning at verse 4. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, thirsty ground, springs of water, and so on. Did you hear the words of Isaiah? Verse 6 in particular. That's where the title of the sermon comes from. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. After he's told us about the eyes of the blind being opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Leaping like a deer is part of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. This prophecy was being fulfilled both in the ministry of Jesus Himself and then after His ascension through the ministry of the apostles. That's what we see here in Acts 3. The story of a man who is described to us as having been born lame, unable to walk, unable to stand, certainly unable to leap and jump with his legs. As this man is brought to the temple each day, to the gate, to ask alms of those passing by, to ask for assistance, because he certainly couldn't be working. He didn't have the strength and the ability to engage in any kind of employment. As he's there, this one day, Peter and John are entering the temple precinct. And he sees them, and certainly they see him. And he calls out to them, asking them for some assistance. Sirs, could you spare a little money to help me? Clearly, I can't work. I have no strength in my legs. Peter and John look at him, and Peter says to him, look at us, turn here. And I can just imagine Peter looks at him right in the eyes. I'm not told this, but he looks at him right in the eyes. And he says to him, I don't have silver. I don't have gold. I can't enrich you with worldly wealth. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Can you imagine what was going through that man's mind and what the experience must have been like as Peter reached out his hand as he spoke those words and took the man by his hand and stood him up? Well, we don't have to go far to discover that man's reaction. What does he do? What does he do? Luke tells us, leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. The lame man will leap like the deer. That prophecy was being fulfilled on that very day. The lame will leap like a deer. This healing is testimony to the all-encompassing nature of the gospel. See, the gospel promise includes forgiveness. It includes the gift of Christ's righteousness granted to you freely, so that you are right with God. It includes the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out upon you, empowering you and gifting you for service. It includes the gift of eternal life in all of its glory in the new heavens and the new earth that is to come. But it also includes healing and joy and genuine happiness. As Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. The gospel promise includes, ultimately, healing. I don't want to be misleading here. God doesn't promise that every single one of us, in all of our ailments and sufferings, in all of our woes and troubles, will be healed in this lifetime. That's not what God's Word teaches, and in a moment we'll see a little bit more about why that's the case. But what we cannot miss is that God's promise ultimately includes in it our full and complete healing and renewal. And that power of God was not at work only 2,000 years ago, but continues to be at work today. Because God is at work today. In Revelation 21, we have the description of this new heaven and the new earth, because the first has passed away, and the city of the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down. And as John goes on with the description, he says this, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. What Peter did in the name of Jesus some 2,000 years ago was a foretaste pointing to the perfection of that kind of healing in the age to come. That power of God continues to work today because the gospel includes a full and complete transformation of all of life, a radical alteration of the course of history, because it gives hope for the end of all sorrow and suffering and their replacement with joy that is truly divine. Peter speaks of these promises in his explanation as the crowds gather. And in that explanation of what has just happened, Peter talks there, verses 19 and 20, as he calls them to repent. He tells them that you need to repent and believe so that these times of refreshing from the Lord might come. He talks about how God will send the Christ appointed for them. This Christ that has been received by heaven until the time for the restoration of all things. The gospel is all-encompassing. It includes the promise that ultimately, when these things are brought to their full completion at the return of Christ, you and I, who have believed in Him, will be healed of every illness, every ailment, every pain, every sorrow, every suffering. We already live in the beginning of the age of the fulfillment of God's promised restoration, even as we look forward to its perfected completion when Jesus returns. We use the expression the already and the not yet to draw attention to this reality that we're kind of in an in-between time where this power of Christ is already at work as we see it in the pages of Acts and continues to work. But He hasn't brought it to its final perfection and completion yet. That comes when Jesus returns again. That's one of the reasons we don't expect everything to be perfect now. That's why we don't expect or demand that we be healed of everything, though we pray for it. And guess what? How many times have you and I seen God at work healing us, taking away our suffering, prolonging our lives? Even if He uses the means of medical knowledge, it is still God who is at work behind that. For all healing ultimately comes only from His hand. And if we haven't been healed, we still have the hope and the assurance that God is at work, that even if He doesn't heal us in this life, we have the life to come where we will be healed. God is still at work. Just as Jesus was at work in His life and the apostles continued His work, what we discover is a key component to God's supernatural acts at that time continues today. And that component is faith. Even in this story of the healing of this lame man, as the crowd flocked to Peter and John, to see what was going on as this man is leaping and shouting and praising God for His healing, Peter explains to the crowds that this power of healing was not his own power or something innate to him, but he explains to them that that power for healing remained entirely in Christ. But as he gives that explanation, listen to what he says in verse 16. And His name, that is the name of Jesus, by faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Did you catch what Peter said there? Peter speaks of faith. The power to heal, the power to effect marvelous and great things remains in Christ. It's not in you, it's not in me. But the Lord Jesus exercises His might when His people put their faith and trust in Him. That has not changed from the days of the apostles to our day today. The miraculous and supernatural comes to fruition not by any one of us, but as we trust the Lord Jesus to act for our good and the furtherance of the gospel. God is still at work. Jesus taught this very same truth. He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Or to that woman with the hemorrhage who touched Jesus' cloak and was healed, what did He say to her? Go, your faith has made you well. The power was in Christ, not in her, but because she trusted, God healed. So be assured, have hope. God has not stopped working. Believe in Him and in His supernatural power. In your weakness, don't let your weakness or the skepticism of the world lead you away from trusting that God is at work today in all kinds of powerful ways, even when you and I can't see it with our eyes. We may not see healings like that taking place left and right today. We may not literally be casting mountains into the sea. But if you and I take time to reflect and to think and to be sensitive to the Lord, you'll begin discovering left and right all the many ways in which God continues to work today. Be assured of that. Now, Luke in Acts explains to us, or tells us, that the apostles did many wonders and signs, chapter 2, verse 43, for example. And then here in chapter 3, of course, we see the outworking of it. What was the point of all of these miracles, all of these powerful works? The answer is very simple. Every single one of them was intended to further the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the purpose. It wasn't just to say to people, well, here, you don't have to hurt anymore. Let me make you feel good. It was all because it was both fulfilling and then furthering the gospel of Christ. Every supernatural act of God in history is gospel driven. This is why we sometimes use the phrase redemptive history. The history of God doing His salvific works and acts. Every powerful act of God either moved history forward to the work of Christ on the cross, or it now flows from that work until Jesus returns. In other words, every time God acts, since the death and resurrection of Christ, in some way, He's applying the gospel or helping it spread throughout the world. The point of God answering your prayers and mine is to advance the cause of the gospel in the world so that you and I, like that lame man, can leap and shout and give praise to God and in that way testify to His ongoing work and power. Hebrews chapter 2 is the author urges us to pay closer attention to what we've heard. He goes on to explain that God, verse 4, bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. He bore witness, Hebrews tells us, to the salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Every miracle, every supernatural act that God has done in the history of the world is intended to point us and direct us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the signs and wonders of Jesus and the apostles were witnesses of God to the salvation in Christ. This is one of the reasons we don't get everything we ask for. Just stop and think about it for a moment. Every time you make a request of God, when you ask Him to act powerfully in your life, are you doing it because you want to see the gospel go forward? Are you doing it because you want to celebrate His power in Christ and then tell everybody about it? The reality is, you and I, when we plead with God for whatever it is to see Him at work, so very often it's for very selfish reasons. I'll be the first to admit that. I'd be lying if I didn't. But when we begin to understand why God did all these miracles and powerful acts, and why He continues to work today, we'll understand that the purpose of all of it is to point to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then to open the door for people to embrace it and believe it. Both on the day of Pentecost and on the occasion now of this healing of this lame man. What happens? Something miraculous takes place. The Spirit coming down. The apostles and disciples speaking the good news of Jesus in many languages. Or this man who could not walk since the day he was born, standing up and leaping and shouting the praises of God. Every time these things happen, what follows it? Proclamation of the gospel of Jesus. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he tells them, let me explain to you what's going on here. This is God at work directing your attention to the Savior Jesus. What does He do after He heals the lame man? It's not just about healing. He uses it to stand up and say, look, this is all about Jesus. Repent of your sins. Turn to Him. Embrace Him. Believe in Him. All these works are to testify and to open the door for the gospel. The powerful acts are manifestations of God's grace, and the accompanying word explains that it is a gift of God's grace, opening the door for the preaching of the gospel. Although God does not give us, as individuals, the power to effect miracles today, He does give to you and me the ability to help the world around us by imitating miracles through our normal acts and deeds. Maybe you and I can't cause anyone to leap like a deer with a mere word in the grasp of a hand as Peter did. But in our case, we can use our silver and gold to provide medical tools that might indeed make the lame leap for joy. Or we can take our skills and our talents and our abilities, equally gifts that God has given to us as those supernatural ones of old, and put them to use freely and graciously to serve those around us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a demonstration, as an example of God's grace in the gospel. We use our gifts to point people to Jesus. We give that glass of cold water in Jesus' name. Go spend time with the lonely. Visit the sick. Share your food. But do it all in Jesus' name as His representatives. We can't effect miracles, but we can do these little things, all of which also are all because of the gospel and point to the goodness and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you reach out in acts of kindness, at the same time, go. Go and testify to God's goodness to you. As you think about all the ways in which He is at work in your life and in the lives of those around you today, go and testify to it. If you've been healed of some illness, tell your friends about Jesus' power. Has God provided for your needs? Go testify to His faithfulness as you talk with your neighbors. Keep telling them about the marvels of God's powerful deeds. Imitate the example of Peter and John and the apostles. The lame man began leaping. As he leapt, he was praising God publicly. He wasn't worried about what it looked like. He just wanted to shout and let that world know that God, through Jesus, had healed him. And so, brothers and sisters, trust God to do great things. Trust God to do great things. Pray and plead with Him to do so. And when He answers your prayers, go. Go and testify to His glory and His grace in Jesus, that all the attention will be on our Lord and Savior, and that they will come to know Him and embrace Him as their Savior with us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You and praise You for Your grace and goodness to us, and the truth that You are still at work in this world, even if we don't see people literally standing up, unable to walk, and now being able to walk around us every day. We know that every healing that comes ultimately has Your power behind it. And we know that You're at work in changing hearts and drawing people to You, providing for our needs and guiding us and so on. Oh Lord, You are at work. Help us to leave here this morning assured and persuaded of that truth. And knowing that truth, O God, help us. Fill us with Your Spirit that will testify to Your goodness so that the world will hear about the glories of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.